Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, we read from the book of Exodus, chapter 32, verses 7 to 14. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once to your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, for they have become depraved. They have soon turned aside from the way I pointed out to them, making for themselves a molten calf and worshiping it, sacrificing to it and crying out, 'This is your God, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt.'" The Lord said to Moses, "I see how stiff-necked this people is. Let me alone then, that my wrath may blaze up against them to consume them. Then I will make of you a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord his God, saying, "Why, O Lord, should your wrath blaze up against your own people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with such great power and with so strong a hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'With evil intent he brought them out, that he might kill them in the mountains and exterminate them from the face of the earth'? Let your blazing wrath die down. Relent in punishing your people. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, how you swore to them by your own self, saying, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and all this land that I promised, I will give your descendants as their perpetual heritage.'" So the Lord relented in the punishment he had threatened to inflict on his people. God hears us when we cry out to him. God hears us when we are in need. But look at this great need the people had who were going off in the wrong direction. And God heard their cry. And he put aside his desire to punish. And he brought blessing because one man really cried out to him insistently and incessantly. And God heard him. Brothers and sisters, bring your needs to God. Bring the needs of the church to God. Not just your own personal needs, as though I'm the most important person in the world. But don't think of yourself as not important at all. Every person is important to the Lord. Every one of us, no matter what our circumstances, he loves us. So bring your needs to the Lord, but trust him. Trust him to show you how to seek his will and to ask for what you need. And he will teach you how. Just keep bringing it to him and asking him for help. Sometimes you pick up a book and it helps you. It answers your question. Sometimes a friend can answer your question. A very good friend could help you. Sometimes God himself will answer you. Trust him. Psalm 106 says, "Remember us, O Lord, as you favor your people." Oh, he does. Our fathers made a calf in Horeb and adored a molten image. They exchanged their glory for the image of a grass-eating bullock. They forgot the God who had saved them, who had done great deeds in Egypt, wondrous deeds in the land of Ham, terrible things at the Red Sea. And then he spoke of exterminating them. But Moses, his chosen one, withstood him in the breach to turn back his destructive wrath. That's the power of genuine intercession. That's the power that you really have for God to listen to you. Not that God doesn't see all and knows all, but he waits to see how his people respond, especially when they're in difficult situations. Go to the Lord. Pray every day. Seek him. Seek his face. He will not forget you. He never will forget you. The gospel is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 31 to 47. Jesus said to the Jews, "If I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is not true. But there is another who testifies on my behalf, and I know that the testimony he gives on my behalf is true. You sent emissaries to John, and he testified to the truth. I do not accept human testimony, but I say this so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and for a while you were content to rejoice in his light. But I have testimony greater than John's. The works that the Father gave me to accomplish, these works that I perform testify on my behalf that the Father has sent me. Moreover, the Father who has sent me has testified on my behalf. But you have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, and you do not have his word remaining in you, because you do not believe in the one whom he has sent. Is that where you are? Are you thinking in your heart, I don't really believe in God? I want you to pause right here and ask yourself, people who know me, how would they know that I love God? I don't have to be talking about it all the time, not that. But is my life oriented toward God? Is my life oriented toward the truth that he gives us? Am I willing to follow him? All of us can ask ourselves those questions. And for people who have been far away from the Lord, simply go to the Lord, kneel down, prostrate yourself on the ground and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I was trying to do it all on my own. That's all you have to do. Tell him you're sorry. Tell him how sorry you are and ask him for his help. He will not fail you. He will not fail you. You search the scriptures because you think you have eternal life through them. Even they testify on my behalf, but you do not want to come to me to have life. See, that's what's going on in this situation. We want to save ourselves, and we can't. No matter how good we are, no matter how bright we are, no matter what degrees we have, we can't save ourselves. Only God can save us. And he longs to save you. He doesn't look at credentials. He doesn't look at degrees. He doesn't look how much money you've got in your bank account. He doesn't look at what clothing you wear. He doesn't matter who you know. He looks at your heart. Brothers and sisters, love him with all your heart. Turn to him. Many of you doubt that God exists. I know that. Promise you, he does. Fear not, little flock. It has pleased your Father to give you the kingdom. Trust him. Pour out your heart to him. Lean on him. If these programs can help you, lean on them. I will pray for you. I promise that. I will pray for you. If you want to write to me, write to me. But please come to the Lord. He loves you. He's waiting for you. He knows you by name. He knows everything about you. And he loves you. He knows what difficulties you've been through in life. He knows the pain. He knows your own sin. Trust him. Trust him to bring you back to himself. He will. The gospel continues, I do not accept human praise. Moreover, I know that you do not have the love of God in you. I came in the name of my Father, but you did not accept me. If another comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe when you accept praise from one another and do not seek the praise that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who will accuse you is Moses, in whom you have placed your hope. For if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, because he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? The Lord is pouring himself out on us, saying, trust me, turn to me. Believe in me. Do not fear. Brothers and sisters, may God give us the grace to say, Lord, I need you. Will you come and help me? There's a very fine woman, Mary Healy, who has written a commentary in the Magnificat magazine today, which I read much of, but I don't try not to use it all the time in the program, but it's very, very good. And what she says is this: to praise God is to become who we really are, since we were created to live for the praise of God's glory. Our Lady teaches us through her song of praise, the Magnificat. She exclaims, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Her word choice may seem surprising, since the verb magnify means to make greater. How can anyone make God greater when he is already infinitely great? What the Magnificat reveals is that as we praise God, he is magnified in our own hearts and understanding. We live in a world under deep oppression, where God is often pushed to the margins. To praise God is to break through that fog. We begin to see how awesome God is, how magnificent his plan is, how minuscule our problems are compared with his mighty power, how nothing, nothing is impossible for him. As we praise God, our spirits become awakened and alive to his love. Brothers and sisters, think about that. Do you ever in your prayer time just sing a hymn? Quietly, perhaps, in your own room, wherever you are, just to sing a hymn of praise to God? Do you pray the rosary? Mary intercedes for all of us. The Lord wants to help you. And sometimes, you know, I get in a situation where I really don't know the answer. I don't know what to do about it. That's when I go to the Lord and I say, "Lord, you know this situation. You know the difficulty. You know the trouble. Lord, please will you help me? Please will you give me wisdom? Show me what I should do." Sometimes God will, as I put it, kind of hint that it might be good to talk to this person or that person, but sometimes God will simply give you the wisdom. It's not a big booming voice. You don't have to hide. He'll speak in your heart, and he'll lead you the way he wants you to go. Trust him. Test it out. Test it out with your confessor. Test it out with a close friend. It's always good to check, because no matter how much we may be fervently praying, the enemy likes to get in there and to tell us something that isn't from God. So it's good. You know, I often turn and ask other friends of mine, "This is what I think God is saying." Trusted people, ask God for help and he will give it. And he'll give someone to you who you can confide in often. If he doesn't, then just do the best that you can in following him. Because, brothers and sisters, from the time that God created the world, he loved us and longed for us and longed that we might see his face and be gathered into his embrace. He loves you, all of us. Every one of us, no matter our sins, we've been forgiven, they're forgotten. Trust him, turn to him, love him, and may God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.